Amen. Well, good to be back yet again. I appreciate some of you coming back again. That's always nice. Sometimes, you know, it surprises me. I understand people coming one time, but you know, we came, and I couldn't tell you how many times I've stood at the back door of the church and went, "Yeah, nobody's going to come." Sometimes the Lord surprises you, and He sends some. And I appreciate you being here, taking time on a Friday night. I know for some of you it's probably been a long week, and you come in, you sit down, you're tired, and you've had just enough time now for it about to sink in. And so I'll do my best to preach fast. I don't know that I'll get done any sooner, but it makes you feel better, you know. I'm being attentive to the time. But it is Friday night, and you get to sleep in a little bit tomorrow, maybe some of you, and catch up on some. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter number 17. And while you're turning there, David said in Psalms chapter 25 and verse number 4, said, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth, and teach me." And after salvation, there are some things that the Lord desires that you and I would learn. And there in Psalms chapter 25, David says, "Teach me." We've seen some things just the other night about some contradiction in characters. And then last night about some things are better broken. And then here, David says, "Teach me." There is nothing greater than somebody that is humble and has humbled themselves and sits down and said, "Lord, teach me. Lord, teach me." And for many of us, unfortunately, we have to learn some things the hard way. Boy, if I went around the room tonight and said, how many of us in here, you've had to learn some lessons the hard way? And I know I have. I know my dad had told me, "There's some lessons, son, I'm afraid you're just going to have to learn with a 2x4 upside the head." And sometimes that's the way it is. I mean, we talk about having to learn some lessons the hard way. But there's some things that we don't have to learn the hard way. We can be taught, right? That's what we want. We can be taught. Those things can take root and come forth, and something come forth from it. But there are some things that have to be taught, as the Apostle Paul put it, with us kicking against the pricks. And what I want to look at, just really a couple of things tonight. One of them has to do with God's provision. And here in 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah, he's learned some valuable lessons about faith, about leaning on God. But he learned these things, and I know some of you know the story here. He learned them by a drying brook. He learned them by some nasty ravens coming and bringing him some food. He learned them by an empty barrel. They were things that he learned by experience, but it wasn't something that he learned against his will. It wasn't something that God had to take a 2x4 and smack him in the head with and say, "You're going to learn this lesson if you got to learn it the hard way." And he didn't learn them against his will. And these lessons that the Lord taught him, they're not anything that's being forced on him. It is by his act of obedience and faith in what the Word of God had told him. You and I, there are some lessons that we need to learn, some lessons that we can learn by faith, by just being faithful and obedient and learning to lean on God while yet still being obedient to the will of God. As David said, he said, "Teach me." And God has a work here that he wants his servant Elijah to do. And he has a stand that he wants his servant to take. And not only is God making preparation and God providing for him providentially, but God is preparing his servant for the job that's yet to be done. He's going to take a stand against error. He's going to take a stand against idolatry. But first, his faith needs exercised. First, his faith needs strengthened. There's some things that's yet to be done. We've said it this way many times to probably young people. We've said, listen, that day is coming, but for right now, rein it in a little bit, right? Right now, just sit down and learn some things. And sometimes as adults, it's easy to tell the kids that, but sometimes the Lord looks at us and He says, rein it in a little bit. Learn to sit down. There's some tasks coming. There's some things coming. You're going to need the strength to get through these days, but for right now, there's some preparation that needs to be done. And the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 17, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and lo, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went, and he dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose, and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go thou and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. So she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Now there's some lessons that I want to draw our attention to here for just a little while tonight. As I said, one of them deals with God's provision, and then another one deals with God's preparation. Now I don't think, and I'm not going to get into any kind of politics or anything like that, but most of us know America's been going downhill for a good while. And nothing new to us. And it's not something that I stand back and go, amen, all right. Not by any means. This is a country that I live in. It's a sad thing to see. And when things like that happen, and most of us have experienced this, things get hard. Right? I mean, finances get tight. Money doesn't buy what it did 10 years ago, doesn't buy what it did 5 years ago. Things change quite a bit. You go to the gas pump and you say, here we go again, higher, pressing on the upward way, right? Boy, it's just not something you get excited about seeing, and we know how things are, and it gets tight. You realize just with all that we went through with COVID and other things, that the certainties of this life can change in a moment. And about the time you think, well, I have my 5-year plan right on track, God goes, I don't think so. Right? And about that time, the rain begins to stop. The provision begins to stop. And you realize you have to set back and reevaluate, take note. You realize where it is that what you have comes from. And what we have comes from, that what we have doesn't come from the federal government, right? What we have doesn't come because we have the ability to provide for ourselves. It's because God provides for each and every one of us. We're in an election year. You say, what are you going to do about that? Absolutely nothing. All right, ain't nothing you can do about it. I ain't going to worry about it. You say, are you worried about who's getting in? I always worry about who's getting in, but there's still nothing I'm going to be able to do about it. Listen, I know where my certainty lies, and it's not over there somewhere. And here, where we have, we know where we are, and when it comes to America, we have warranted the judgment of God as a nation. The things that God has seen, the things that God has put up with, and we know, sitting here tonight, that we enjoy what we enjoy strictly because God is merciful. And it's definitely not because of the great leadership that we have. It's because God is merciful and He's kind. And we know that God, He provides and He cares for His people. And it's good to see a narrative like this in Scripture. Now, here we see Elijah. And Elijah is one that just jumps right on the scene. He shows up here in chapter 17, verse number 1, and when he comes out with two guns blazing, so to speak. He appears just suddenly, and all we know about him is mentioned right there in verse number 1. He is Elijah the Tishbite, who is of the inhabitants of Gilead. And it is, by the time you get down to verse number 2, gives his introduction, and he comes in. He has some things to say to Ahab of the word of the Lord, and the Lord told him something to say. He jumps up, says what the Lord has him to say, and he says what he has to say to Ahab. Now, Ahab, he's one that broke the mold when it came to wickedness for the nation of Israel. No king had been as wicked as him up to here. His wickedness, his depravity, his idolatry. You go back to chapter 16 there with Jezebel, and he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. He went and served Baal. He worshipped him. Made groves. He did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that went before him. I mean, Ahab, he comes out, he just breaks the mold on wickedness, and the Lord says, I need a prophet to go and stand and say something to that wicked king. And all of a sudden here, Elijah just shows up. I mean, he just shows up, and he says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, he shows up, and I like to say he shows up as a hero. I don't know if he showed up as a hero or just a crazy prophet. but he shows up, and he is the one that God's going to use. And what is it? What is it about Elijah that God said, I need something said to that guy right there, and right there's the man that I'm going to use? What is it about Elijah that stood out? Well, I don't know. As I said, we don't know really anything about him. I know he's just a common man. He's just a simple man. I know that he knew God. And I want to point some things out about him. You see, first of all, Elijah's home. It says there in verse number 1, Elijah the Tishbite was of the inhabitants of Gilead. He was a Tishbite of Gilead. Gilead has to do with means, it's known as just a rough mountainous area, known for its high peaks and its deep valleys. Gilead means raw or rugged. I associate all them things with Elijah when I see him. See him just a common man, maybe from the mountains, from the hills. You know, people are affected by the regions that they grow up in, right? I don't know if any of you are having a hard time understanding me, but some of you can probably figure out I'm not really from this particular area. it doesn't take much. I grew up down in the great state of Texas. I know you never hear about that around here. But I grew up down there. I went from Florida to Oregon to Washington to Tennessee to Missouri. I've traveled around a little bit, lived in different parts of the country. And people many times are affected by the regions that they come from. You know, there are some in the hills. There are some on the plains. where we are down in Joplin. We're about 8 or 10 miles from Oklahoma and Kansas. There's nothing in Kansas. You go over there, you look. I kind of go drive over to the border, I look over there, and go, "Yep, there ain't nothing there." It's just a big flat piece of land, and nothing much there. But different people are affected by different regions they come from. You have some raised out in the country. You have some raised in the city. And they're affected by those things. They have different methods about them, different mannerisms. And I could see Elijah here, his method and his mannerisms, and the message just being rough and rugged. That's the part of the country he's from. That's what Gilead means, rough and rugged. And knowing those hills and that mountainous region and those type of people, I could see him as he stands there. He wasn't about to pull any punches. As the Lord God liveth. I can see him just pointing that finger at Ahab. And then even the New Testament, we learn a little bit about Elijah's humanity. Not just Elijah's home, but Elijah's humanity. In James chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 17 that Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, that it rained not on the earth by a space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, Elijah here, he's flesh and bone. He's mortal. Sometimes we read through passages of scripture like this and we see some of these different men, and it's hard to imagine that they might be just like we are. I mean, I see somebody like Elijah, and I talk about him being maybe rough and rugged and coming out from the mountains and the hills and the valleys and that part of the country. And you just want to imagine just a monster of a man, something about him that would be much different than what I am. And it's probably not. The Bible says he was a man subject to like passions as we are. And this is a mortal man, a man of flesh and bone, and a humble man. He's a man with courage. Here he goes up, and the very first time he shows up, you see him standing right before King Ahab. King Ahab, known as a very wicked man. Here they are making sacrifices to Baal and everything else there, and human sacrifices. And he just jumps up right on the stage, right on the platform, and says, "This is a message that God has to tell you. It's not going to rain by the space of 3.5 years. You're not going to rain until the Lord gives me word that it's going to rain again." And gives a message and leaves. Boy, it'd take a lot of gumption to do that. Sometimes you watch folks And as I said last night, you're going to go out street preaching or something. And oh, brother, it's easy. Just jump up there and preach. Right? I was told that when I first started preaching. Oh, it's easy. You just jump up there and preach. And you jump up here and you look at everybody and you go, Right? I mean, there's been times I've got up here and I've had wished I'd have written down my name so I remember what it is. And I remember a preacher one time telling me, he said, "Brother," he said, "I don't have to use notes." I said, "I don't use notes either. I write a syllabus." And he said, "Brother, just get up there and give what God tells you to give." And I found out sometimes the Lord just let you see the fool. And sometimes that's what it is. Here's Elijah. I mean, it would take a massive amount of courage to just walk up there and tell Ahab what the Lord had to say. And you see his humanity. He's one full of courage, bold. Reminds me of Peter and John in Acts chapter 4. And the Bible says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." Lord, give us the boldness to speak. Give us the courage to speak. The Lord talks about that with deacons in 1 Timothy chapter 10. The Lord tells us in Hebrews 4 to come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Not only was he a man of courage, but also he defies a wicked ruler. R.G. Lee, he preached a very famous message called Payday Someday. And in that message, he's talking about Ahab, and in that message, he referred to Ahab. He said Ahab was just a toad of a man. That's how he envisioned Ahab. I kind of get that vision as well. I see Jezebel and the type of person she is, and Ahab just kind of a weasel toad of a man. That's how I envision him. And Jezebel, she is an ardent Baal worshiper. She comes in. It's the countries there of the Zidonians, and she comes in serving Baal, and she's an ardent Baal worshiper. And here comes Elijah, and with the courage that God gives him, he stands up and he defies a wicked king. You know, it's easy to serve the Lord in here, isn't it? I mean, matter of fact, it's encouraging. Sometimes you get in and boy, you hear that beautiful music begin to play, and constantly abiding, Jesus is mine, and boy, just all the songs that we began to sing, and you get in here and you can sing them loud, and boy, you're just ready to charge the door. And then all of a sudden you get out and the Lord's going, come on, give them a gospel track. Come on now, you can do it. You can do it now. And listen, I know she's 85, but you can catch her, all right? I mean, just run up there. She's not going to hurt you that bad, okay? All right, and give her a track. Give her a track, and you run up, and you say, just read it. That's the way it is sometimes. Boy, it's difficult. You say, boy, I didn't need the courage. Boy, you get in here, and boy, just to have the courage, Lord, I'm going to be like Elijah. I want to stand up there. Oh, come on. Right? I mean, sometimes it's to say something out loud about the Lord in a place where you're not surrounded by the brethren, encouraging you to do so, to take the courage and boldly stand. Boy, it's rough. It's rough. And here's Ahab. He's defying a very foolish ruler. And not only does he defy a foolish ruler, but he denounces a false religion. He says here in chapter 16 that they, as I said, they were Baal worshipers. You get to chapter 17 and verse number 1. He says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. And he says, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now in doing that, he's attacking a false religion. Baal is a Canaanite god of fertility. And the idea of these Baal worshipers was that Baal moved in the clouds, and when it thundered, that was Baal moving in the clouds, and therefore when it thundered or lightning, he was upset and he was moving, and so they would get up in the mountaintops in order to get closer to that. And the idea was that if you coupled up with a priest while all that thunderstorm and lightning was taking place, you yourself would become a god for a short time. And so you had all sorts of immorality, idolatry associated with this Baal worship. And then even human sacrifices being made, because when there was no rain, Baal was upset. And so sacrifices needed to be made so that great god of fertility would allow it to rain. And Elijah steps up and he says, there shall be no dew nor rain. You've been worshiping that false god of Baal, depending on that god to serve that god to provide the rain. I tell you what, we're cutting the faucet off right now. No dew nor rain. And we know that Israel here, I mean, they broke commandments 1 through 3, broke commandments 7 through 10. And it's not too long after this that Elijah, he's standing up there on Mount Carmel, and 850 prophets over here stand up on Mount Carmel, and he's going, choose you this day. Right? Boy, that takes some courage. He's denouncing a false religion. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. You're going to serve that evil Baal, or are you going to serve the God of Israel? Who are you going to serve? He's denouncing a false religion. Now, not only is he defying a foolish ruler and denouncing a false religion, as I said, he's a man of courage. And he's not just a man of courage, but he's a committed man. The very name Elijah means Jehovah is God. Jehovah. He is God. It says, or rather, my God is Jehovah. And he steps up here and he declares war on Baal. No rain. No rain. Boy, he's committed. He's not only is he committed, he's dependent. He didn't walk up there with a bunch of people behind him. He didn't walk up there, well, you know, and take a shotgun and pump it once, you know. Listen here, buddy. Right? I mean, he didn't have, you know, Clint Eastwood on one side and Schwarzenegger on the other, none of that kind of stuff. He walked up there and he said, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to take place. There wasn't any support. He was dependent. Who is he dependent on? He was dependent upon the Lord. He said, as the Lord God of Israel, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. He was dependent. He was devoted. You see that again in verse number 1. He said, before whom I stand. You know who he wanted to please? He wasn't trying to show off to Ahab. He wasn't trying to show off to Israel. He only had one person he was trying to please. And he said, the Lord God of Israel, before whom I stand. That's the one that I'm going to please. That's the one whom I'm dependent on. And he was confident. Not just a man of courage, but he was a confident man. He was confident in God's person. He said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. You know why you and I are here right now? You and I are here right now because God was manifest in the flesh. He died at Calvary to atone our sins, but it was because he got out of the grave. That's why you and I are here. If he hadn't got out of the grave, then he wouldn't have been nothing but a liar. He wasn't able to perform, but he's able to perform. But it's the fact that he got up. If there's no resurrection, then there's no hope, and you and I are of all men most miserable. And he said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. All right, show me where he is. Right? I want to see him. I want to see him. I mean, that's what you see, you know, people, I want to see him. You know, you go back, you know, oh, you believe God created everything. God made everything. Well, it's a lot easier to believe than aliens came here and seeded earth. Right? I mean, you jumped out of a mud puddle and you know, the great scientific minds of the day, you know. Well, there is a great possibility that, you know, aliens started this. Well, I'm pretty, you know, some of that I believe when I see some people in Congress and Senate, and I can begin to see some of the validity. But boy, you go back and you say, unless I can see, all right. Boy, you began to deal with some of those arguments, and you began to try to show them some things. You're going to trust the fact that you came from absolutely. All of a sudden, there was a big boom, a big bang. Rocks were thrown in the air, and here you are. That makes a lot of sense. You was, at one point, just something swimming around in a mud puddle. Don't know where the mud puddle came from. Don't know where the rock came from, where the mud puddle was on. Don't know how the water got in the mud puddle that was sitting on the rock where they didn't know it came from. But that little thing crawled out. Crawled over to a tree, crawled up the tree, somehow survived eons and eons, give or take a couple of billion years, we can't be sure. You know, we're not going to, you know, don't want to be crazy about it, but we could be off by a couple of billion years and crawled up, fell out of the tree, stood upright, threw away the banana, and said, here I am. Now, isn't that just absolutely ridiculous? It is. We sat here and we laughed at it. And you're going to tell me that's much easier to believe than God said, let there be, and there was. I'll tell you what's even easier for me to believe. That the Lord Jesus Christ, he laid there and he went down to hell and he delivered captivity captive and he deposited some things down there and left them there. Covered in his blood, and he comes up there, and all of a sudden he just sits upright, and he takes that napkin off of his face, and he folds it up, and he lays it down, and he says, my work is done. That's much easier That's much easier. You know what Elijah said? Here he is. He is defying our religion. And he stands up and he says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. You ain't getting any life out of those dead stones you got over there on that mountaintop. Right? That's why he's over there and he's going, perhaps he's asleep. Right? Just a chapter, perhaps he's asleep. Maybe you need to call a little louder. Maybe he can't hear you. You know what he had said? He said a lot right there in verse number one. He was confident in God's person. He was confident in God's power to do what he said he was going to do. It wasn't going to rain these years. He was confident in God's promise. Not only did he stand up and denounce a false religion, but he declared God's word to these people. Now, here he declared, he had told Israel, all of this had already been said. He believed what God had said. And he's standing there and declaring to Israel, to Ahab, what God had already spoken. God spoke to Moses back in Deuteronomy chapter number 11, and he told him back in Deuteronomy chapter number 11, he said, you go in and you serve those gods. He says, I'm going to cut the faucet off. He said, you go in and serve those gods in Deuteronomy chapter number 11, and he said, I'm going to cut the rain off. And so Elijah steps up here and he quotes what Israel's already been given them. And as we see in the New Testament, the Bible says after he stood up and he said this, he earnestly prayed. And when he was done earnestly praying, there was no rain by the space of 3.5 years. 3.5 years. Now, when this is done, after he's declared God's word, the Lord says, all right, now I want you to get out. And the Lord sends him down to a drying brook at Cherith, the Bible says, right here, which is just before Jordan. And then he winds up taking a trip. He's to hide himself there for a while. And then he winds up going to Zarephath and Zidon. And it's a strange thing that he's here. He sets down, and the Lord sends him to a brook. That brook dries up, and the Lord says, all right, I want you to take another trip. I want you to go to Zarephath, which is in Zidon. And I'm sure Elijah, if he's like me, would have said, Lord, you do understand that's where Jezebel's from, right? You see that back in chapter 16. That's where Jezebel's from. And you want me to leave here and go to the land where she's from. Yep, that's exactly what I want you to do. And that's exactly what he's done. It doesn't seem like much. Here, the Lord sends him down to this brook and he's fed there. And you know this story well. The Lord doesn't say, hey, listen, you go down there. There's a cave. In the backside of the cave, I have a safe. There's a big door. You punch in the code. The code for you is 1611, right, as is most of our codes, I'm sure. And you go in, you punch in the code, 1611, the door opens, and I have a whole cave stashed full of supplies to keep you while everything else falls apart. That's not what the Lord said. You know what the Lord said? He said, I want you to go there and sit there by the brook Cherith. And he said, I've taken care of things. And you have water, and you have that nasty raven that's going to come by and drop some food down to you. And you sit there and eat. And then eventually we know that runs out. And the Lord says, don't worry, I'm still taking care of you. Now, listen, I want you to take a 100-mile trip across the country that you have said it's not going to rain, and I'm sure they've got posters of you plastered all over everywhere, ready to kill you. Elijah's a wanted man. And he said, I've got a widow woman there, and she's going to sustain you. And by the time you get there, her barrel's empty. I mean, she says, I have a little bit of meal. My child and I'm going to make a little cake. We're going to eat this, and then we're going to die. And Elijah says, all right, just make me something first before you do that, right? You know, it's the little things. Sometimes in God's provision, you know what we want to do? We say things like this, Lord, just pour me a blessing that I'm not able to even receive. Well, what do you need so much for? You know, most of the time, we're always asking for a whole lot more than we can handle. right? Boy, listen, Lord, I one of these days, I want to do something for you, right? I want to pastor a church of 500. No, make it 1,500. Lord, I want to do this, I want to do that. And the Lord goes, yeah, you couldn't handle two right now. Right? You can't even handle yourself right now. And the Lord, He begins to provide. Here He is. He's preparing His servant. His servant, I mean, He shows up in verse number one, just seems like pulled right out of the woods, right out of the mountain, stands there, proclaims, and the Lord says, all right, get down to the brook. And He just sits there. He just sits there. And God's hands in the little things, in a handful of meal, in a small cloud. Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says in verse number 37, talking about patience, the Lord says, a little while, and he that shall come will come. You know what we're waiting for? Just a little while. Does it feel like a little while? No, it didn't feel like a little while. Does it? I mean, a lot of times we sit there and we say, hey, the Lord's coming back any day, right? You say, when do you believe the Lord's coming back? Any day. if I had to take a guess, you're not going to have to worry about hearing me preach tomorrow night. I figured I got a few amens on that one. You say, man, we're not going to have to worry about that. The Lord's coming back. All right. In just a little while. 2,000 years is a little while. You say, how much longer are you going to be preaching tonight? Just a little while. just a little while. Now, you know what our hope is in? Our hope is in His faithfulness. That's what our hope is in. Here is Elijah, and he's sitting by the brook. And Lord, how long am I going to have to stay here? Oh, just a little while. Just hold on. There's some things that need strengthened. There's some things that need built. And he's providing. He is preparing his servant. You see, as you get down to verse number 3, he tells him there in verse number 3, he says, get thee hence and turn thee westward and hide thyself. Hide thyself. Now, that's a strange thing. I mean, I would think this would be a prime opportunity to get some people right with God, wouldn't it? I mean, here are just stand Elijah walking down the street going, it's not going to rain. And after about a week, people are going, well, you know, we have these. And after about a month, they're going, well, you know, there may be some validity to that nut. And after about 6 months, they're going, where is Elijah? Right? And Elijah, I mean, he could have been standing on a street corner somewhere going, I told you, you should have listened. You better get down to that temple in Israel and repent and get right. But that's not what the Lord told him to do. You know what the Lord told him to do? The Lord said, hide thyself. Now, I always like the amount of time that he hid himself. Now, I'm not comparing this, but you and I, we're not going through the tribulation. Right? And you're not in it right now. it might be the trial of your faith, but it's not the tribulation. And here, it's by the space of about 3.5 years. I remember I was sitting down at PBI and things weren't going like I thought they ought to be going, you know, and you sit there and you're feeling sorry for yourself. And everybody got up and went out, of, you know, between classes. And I'm sitting there and I got my, you know, my lip hanging low and I'm looking out the window and there's a good brother sitting in front of me, and he's going to encourage me in the faith. And he said, brother, he says, don't you feel bad about people out there dying and going to hell and you just sitting in here? And, you know, Dr. Ruttman had just gotten through telling us that, you know, the Lord was coming back and, you know, at the latest 1993, and so we weren't getting out of school, and he was coming back in 88, and anyway, it was, I'm sitting there just bemoaning, I'm never going to get an opportunity to serve the Lord. And I sat there and I went, no, brother, I said, we're supposed to be sitting where the Lord told us to sit when He comes. Now, I preached his funeral. And sometimes I sat there and I look back and I go, I know exactly what I was thinking then. And I never thought it'd be here. Right? And here is Elijah. He's sitting there, and he's hiding himself. And I would imagine, knowing Elijah, being that rough fellow that he was, and he says, "Lord, you had me run up, and you had me tell that king, just turn me loose." And God goes, "Just sit there and be quiet." Right? Brother Stevens, I got saved 3 months ago, and praise the Lord, I'm pretty sure I've learned most of the New Testament by now, and I think the Lord's calling me to the mission field, and I'm ready to go, and I don't want to have to mess with deputation, so I already bought my plane ticket. Right? And he's going, "Here, turn around. Let me get you by the nape of the neck. Now, sit!" And just kind of blend in and hide yourself for a while. Right? Sometimes that's hard to do. And here, boy, Elijah's sitting there, and he's just chomping at the bit to go. And the Lord says, "No, you know what he's doing? He's preparing him. His faith needs strengthened. There's some preparation that needs to take place." But why? Because 18 verse number 1 is coming. And he says in 18 verse number 1, "Show thyself. Show thyself." And it came to pass after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." Now it's time to show thyself. And boy, does he. I mean, here he is standing up before those prophets and those false prophets and begins to show himself. And a lot of folks, they're ready to show themselves. They're just not ready to hide themselves. And unfortunately, some people go into hiding and never come out, because we didn't want that process. We didn't want to sit alone by the brook. Just some alone time with God. Just some training time. Just here Elijah is day after day. And I know this, you may not understand this. There were no cell phones back then. Right? He wasn't sitting there watching Netflix or whatever else it was and making a Walmart list while the preacher was preaching. None of that was going on. None of that was going on. You know, he wasn't sitting there making out a grocery list and texting other people in church. You know why? None of that. He's just sitting by the brook, just waiting for the raven to fly over. You know, hoping that raven hadn't already, you know, prepared that food too much in its beak and dropped that thing off. "Lord, just a clean raven today, please. Nothing else." Just waiting for it to drop off, you know. Get it a little closer this time. A little less dirt on the meat. And he sits there and he just watches that brook go less and less and less and less. And he says, "Lord, what are you doing?" You ever ask the Lord what he's doing? "Lord, what are you doing? I'm not getting this. You said no rain, and the brook's drying up." Duh. Right? You know why the brook dried up? Because there was no rain. That's why the brook dried up. Didn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out. And he says, "Just sit there." And all of a sudden that trickle gets less and less and less and less. "Lord, Lord." And the Lord says, "All right." He says, "I want you to take a little trip. It's going to take about 100 miles. And he says, "There's a widow woman down there." And he says, "I've commanded her to sustain thee." Now the problem is, he didn't tell the widow woman that. Right? Elijah gets there, and she didn't say, "Oh yeah." She says, "Come right back here with me." She walks back over to that storage locker, punches in 1611 again, and storage locker opens up, and she says, "I've been making all these preparations just waiting for you to show up." She says, "Listen, do what? I'm out here picking up a couple of sticks. I'm going to make a meal for me and my son, a little cake. We're going to eat it and die." And Elijah's response is, "Okay, but first," I love it. I just can't help but laugh every time I read that. But first, make me a little cake, right? I mean, before you kick the bucket, just make me a little something. Make me a little something first. And here he's having to learn to live by faith. And it looks, you know, living by faith, it looks a little presumptuous to other people. But Elijah, he's not See, this isn't faith. This is not faith. You want a blessing from God? You want a blessing from God? Then, by faith, send me $100. P.O. Box 507, Webb City, Missouri. By faith, send me $100, and I'm going to pray over that $100, and God's going to give you $1,000. That's not faith. That's called charlatans and stupidity. That's all that is. Faith is acting upon God's word. You know what God said? God said, go down to the brook Cherith, hide thyself. I commanded some ravens to help you. And that's exactly what he does. He says, all right, get up from here. I want you to go over to Zarephath. He said, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. It's get up and go. God said, go. You know what God said? Notice verse number 4. The last word of verse number 4. He said, there. Verse number 9. A woman there to sustain thee. Verse number 10, the widow woman was there. You know what God said? He said, go right there. Right there. Well, sometimes it's hard for us to take what we said here, and the Lord says, all right, go there. And you be sitting right there when I come looking for you. You know where the Lord ought to find you? You say, boy, didn't you feel bad sitting in school? What if the Lord had come back while you're sitting in school? I would have been sitting right where he told me to sit. Right there. Boy, here you are sitting on a Friday night. What if the Lord came back on a Friday night? Would the Lord find you sitting where he told you to sit? Right there. Now listen, I know. We walk into church, look around. I don't want to sit in anybody's spot. Right? We all have our theirs. Right? This is you walk up to somebody and you go, I want to be nice here, but you need to move. Right? That's my spot. Now that's Elijah. Elijah, he's sitting there and he says, Lord, and the Lord says, right there. And that water goes less and less and less. Lord, I don't think we're going to be able to make it here. Right? I mean, you know what Cherith means? Cherith means cut off or cut down. Sometimes, as I said last night, we need a humbling experience. It's humbling to sit there and watch the brook dry up. It's a lonely place. It's a lonely place. God found it. When God told him to go from there to there, God found Elijah sitting right by the brook. Right by the brook. He wasn't a Jacob. He wasn't trying to work things out. Lord, I've sat here as long as I can. We've got to go. Boy, how many times over the years have you seen folks come in, just like in our church, and people come in and they go, well, I thought the Lord wanted us here, but I guess not. It just didn't work out. You mean because the brook started drying up? And everybody wasn't running up and grabbing you and giving you a big hug and inviting you over to their house, you know, because you done wore out your welcome. None of that was taking place anymore. And it just wasn't what we thought it was going to be. And the Lord comes by and he says, I was looking for that person that's supposed to be sitting right there. Well, they're not there, but that brother's sitting right there, and that's right where he's supposed to be. Boy, wouldn't you hate to miss out on that? Wouldn't you hate to miss out on that? Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, right? And so the Lord says, go from there to there. Now here he gets up, as I said, he goes to Zarephath, which is in Zidon, and he begins to travel. And sometimes, here as I said also, this is where Jezebel's from. I mean, Elijah's sitting there and he's going, Lord, are you going to kill me? Is that what this is? Sometimes the Lord has us do some things and kind of makes you scratch your head a little bit. I mean, I sat there by the brook and the brook dried up. The Lord didn't have to let the brook dry up. I mean, if the Lord can bring water out of a rock, if, as we seen the other night, He can bring water out of an old jawbone, you think He couldn't make that brook continue to run? But He didn't. I mean, here's Moses, and they put Moses in the Nile where they took all the other kids and drowned them. And that's how Moses is saved. Joseph, here he is. He's sold into slavery. Boy, what a great way to save your family, right? We'll just take one of the kids and sell him into slavery. That doesn't make any sense. Here, brothers take Joseph, throw him down in a pit. They come back to Dad. They say, Dad, sorry, but Joseph is dead, and the only thing left is this bloody coat. I preached a message on that years ago, and I would imagine Dad takes that coat and he puts it off in the closet, and at times he'd pull that thing out just to remember Joseph. Well, it seemed like he could have told a faithful servant, right? Hey, don't worry, Joseph is alive. He's down there in Egypt. No, he's going, just sit here and trust. I know what I'm doing. Right? I mean, Daniel's a faithful servant. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. I'd just throw them in the fire. Why not put the fire out? Right? That's what I would. I mean, I sit there and I look at it and I say, all of a sudden, just grab them. And as they throw them in, the fire just goes out. But that's not where the fellowship of the Lord was. David said it this way. He said, thou preparest me a table in the presence of mine enemies. Right in the middle of all the things that are going on, we imagine it can't get any worse. And the Lord says, come over here and dine. I sat there and talked about Elijah sitting there by that brook Cherith and it being a lonely place. I wonder how many times the Lord came by and just dined with a faithful servant. It's good to see you still here. Boy, how many times the Lord come by you and I and you're going through problems and things are going on and you don't know the answer to it and you don't know what's going to happen next, and the Lord comes by just being faithful, and you take up this precious book and you open it up, that word of life, and you sit there and the Lord just pulls up to a faithful servant and goes, let's fellowship right here. And the word becomes sweet in a way it never was before. Listen, sometimes we don't understand. How did he save Noah? Well, according to 1 Peter chapter 3, he flooded the whole world. That's how he saved Noah. It doesn't make a lot of sense sometimes, but as I said, he was where he was supposed to be. He was where he was supposed to be. This is God's plan. God provides for His servants. Man said it this way one time. He said, if it's your bill, if it's your plan, you pay. If it's God's plan, He pays. Boy, how many times we look back and we went, oh, I'm paying for that one. Right? I'm paying for that one. Not only was he declaring God's word, but lastly, let me say, this is, we see some amazing provision. And not just amazing provision, but some abundant peace. He says in verse number 5, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. He went and did according to the word of the Lord. Verse number 10, so he arose and went to Zarephath. He came, behold, to the gate of the city. A widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, I wonder if he said, hey, are you the widow woman? There's a widow woman here supposed to take care of me. Are you the widow woman? Yes, I'm a widow. What a weirdo. Right? Imagine the smile on Elijah's face after he just treks 100 miles across waste, nothing, no rain on anything all this time. Now, and he comes across there, walks up, here's a widow woman. Here's a widow woman. I mean, it's kind of like, you imagine somebody else as they come up and they've come to a well and they've conjured up this plan, whether it's, you know, Lord, have you made my way journeyous? Have you made my way prosperous or not? And before he'd ever done speaking, there's Rebecca standing by the well. Right there. So the Lord made his way prosperous. And here he found some abundant provision, some amazing provision, some abundant peace. And you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to look past the dying brook. You're going to have to see the one that's doing the providing. And you say, Lord, Oh, I don't know how we're going to make it. How are we going to do something like that? How are you going to, how are we going to get 25 people to gather and get them all the way across the country and arrange these things and get out 35,000 John and Romans and get these, Lord, I don't quite have all this figured out. How are we going to pay for all this stuff? Right? I mean, you started off in a building down there, and now you're here. And you didn't have this many a long time ago. What the Lord's been? Well, the Lord's provided in ways we couldn't possibly imagine. Amen. Couldn't possibly imagine. Here's, it says he's provided a widow woman to sustain him. See, part of the training had to do with provision. It was that dry brook. It was that dry brook. But he needed some time alone. He needed some preparation. And here the Lord's preparing a faithful servant. And he is. I know how Elijah winds. And the Lord ain't done with him yet. And he stands up and pulls him out of the hills. And he stands up and he puts a finger in old Ahab's face. He stands there and he chops the heads off a bunch of people. Fire comes down from heaven. But you know where he started at? Sitting over by a brook. Watching it get less and less and less. And just sat there dependent upon the Word of God. You know what he was doing? He's being prepared. Being prepared. God's provision. God's preparation. Brother?